But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they tore their garments and rushed out into the cloud, crying out, "Men, why are you doing these things? We are also men of like nature with you, and we bring you good news that you should turn away from vain things to a living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that's in them. In past generations, he allowed all the nations to walk in their own ways. Yet he did not leave himself without witness, for he did good by giving them rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness." Even with these words, they scarcely retained the people from offering sacrifices to them.
"Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe."
Lord, we come to your word and ask that you would come and speak to our hearts in Christ's name. Amen. We've been looking over these last few months what it looks like to be rooted in the scriptures, sustained by the sacraments, and animated by the Spirit. We've done 2.5 months on the Word, the sacraments, and the Spirit. We've been doing this because we've all come from somewhere else. St. Bart's is a new church, so we haven't done this forever, right? So we're a conglomerate of people from different traditions. And some of us have issues or have had issues until Chris and I preached on it over how the word's been used. Now that's been fixed. Some of us have had problems over the sacraments and how the sacraments were lifeless growing up. And now that's been fixed in my life. And some of us have issues to do with the Holy Spirit. And that will soon be fixed because some of you have been in part of a church that discounted the role and the ministry of the Holy Spirit today. Or some of you have been in churches that embraced it and then for whatever reason it was mishandled. He was mishandled and you weren't given a fair representation. And others you've come and that's not your issue. Your issue's been elsewhere. And so this is what we're looking at. And the way we've been doing it is we've been looking at the different streams, the Word, the sacraments, and the Spirit through the lens of our values. And so our values, if you're wondering where they are, they're on the penultimate page of the bulletin. And today we're going to look at our passages from Acts and John and look at what it means to be animated by the Holy Spirit in everyday life through the lens of wholeness and healing. All right, so here's your compass. There it is. And what we have is we have these incredible passages that give us a genuine picture of what Spirit-led transformation looks like. And it may seem like an unlikely source. In Acts, our reading in Acts, we've got Paul and Barnabas. They witness a miraculous healing in Lystra. And what Acts thing? They made Paul into Hermes and Barnabas into Zeus. Which God would you be? We'll talk later. And they were ready to offer sacrifices. They were ready to put their money where their mouth is to back up their beliefs and what they were interpreting was happening. Does this sound familiar? Maybe it's not the sacrifice of bulls and of wreaths today, but people put their money where their mouth is to back up false beliefs all the time. For example, we can get animated by someone's gifting and treat them as if they should have a disproportionate influence than they really ought to. We can be animated by a perspective of what money can do. And we end up worshiping the wrong thing. We end up worshiping money or the person with lots of money. Let's talk about the church for a moment. We can be animated by celebrity pastors. We could be animated by the pursuit of spiritual highs. We could be animated by charismatic personalities. And when we do that, we locate God's power in the spectacular instead of the source. Don't get me wrong, the spectacular happens. And it happens today. And it happens in the most incredible moments. But these signs happen so that we would worship the source rather than the instrument. Because when we are animated by the pursuit of a celebrity pastor or a charismatic personality, what we end up is with a hollow animation that feeds the ego but doesn't, and this is important, transform the character. The gifts of the Spirit are great and they're many, but the end is the transformation of the character. Paul's response reveals the difference. He doesn't bask in adoration or use their adoration to build up his platform and create something for the kingdom. He tears his clothes in grief and says to them, "The living God who made heaven and earth did this, not me." So what's the truth then? What is the true animation we need to look for? What does it mean to be animated by the Spirit if we're rooted in Scripture, sustained by the sacraments, and animated by the Spirit? Well, Jesus shows us what genuine Spirit-led life looks like. It's the Holy Spirit who will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Notice that the primary work of the Spirit is not dazzling displays, though God does do dazzling things. You just have to see a Japanese maple flourish in the spring. It's amazing. It's like they took a Canadian maple tree and made it better. Doesn't produce syrup, but anyway, I digress. God does do dazzling things, but the primary work of the Spirit is to teach and to remind. When we are animated by the Holy Spirit, led by the Spirit, we don't become superhuman. We don't. Instead, we become more human. We become more fully the image bearers God created us to be. The Spirit doesn't lift us out of our humanity, but transforms us within our humanity. This is wholeness. Our humanity isn't suppressed, it's sanctified. In Christ, we both see the face of God and the fullness of humanity perfectly united. The work of the Spirit is to integrate us. And both give us, how does this happen? Here's a good question. Both passages give us clues about how this works. First, and this is the hardest, through surrender, not assertion. Through surrender. Paul could have accepted worship for personal gain. Instead, he points beyond himself. He takes the sign and directs it towards the sender. And he says, in effect, true spiritual animation always directs attention away from ourselves towards God. The Spirit always leads us to point to Jesus as opposed to ourselves. That's why a Christian influencer is an oxymoron. Because in our world of social media, where influencers are all about, look what I can do, it kind of works, but doesn't really work. It breaks down pretty quickly. The Holy Spirit's the best marketing agent in the world. He has immediate access to everyone's hearts, whether they know him or not. The second thing, how this happens, is that through teaching and remembering, not constant spiritual highs, Holy Spirit transforms us through the quiet, patient process of learning and relearning, having our minds renewed by the truth day by day. The Spirit comes to us and whispers to us, "You are beloved. You are forgiven. You are called to love." That is how this transformation happens. And Jesus gives us this key identifier in John 14. "Peace I leave with you. Peace I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled Do not be afraid. I don't know, easy for Jesus to say, right? Son of God, perfectly human, perfectly divine. You ever been to the circus? You ever seen the trapeze artists fly? I am a big believer in gravity. I am not a gravity denier, and so I would never get on a trapeze because I know gravity will win. But I think to myself sometimes, if I had in me what was in a trapeze artist, maybe I could do that. That's the poverty of spirit, is when we recognize that if we had what was in that person in us, maybe we could do that. And we only see it when we see Jesus. And the only way we can have peace and not be afraid is not by trying to suppress our humanity, but it's by saying, I need what's in Jesus. I need what was in Jesus to be in me so that I can live a life like him. That is the work of the Spirit. The world offers us many forms of animation: anger, ambition, anxiety, endless activity. But the animation of the Spirit produces peace, not agitation. It calms troubled hearts rather than stirring them up. And when we are led by the Spirit, and as this calm, quiet work of the Spirit is in us, transforming us, we don't become frantic or frenetic, and we don't feel compelled to prove ourselves or to promote ourselves. We're happy to be quiet and to let the Lord take the lead. You may have heard of churches that believe in being rooted in the Scriptures, sustained by the sacraments, and animated by anger, or animated by anxiety, or animated by activity. Nobody ever says they don't believe in the Holy Spirit in the church world. I mean, people say it all the time, but you know. But when you look at someone and at a community, it's a good question to ask. Is there a sense of peace here? Is it possible to experience a deep settledness? Are the leaders agitating us, stirring us up, leveraging the people to do something that, you know, may actually not be the calling of God? Because the work of the Spirit is to create a quiet confidence that is not born out of our own abilities, but it's born out of the faithfulness of God. Peace isn't the absence of conflict or of struggle, because Paul and Barnabas had plenty. Following this, Paul is stoned and left for dead. Somehow survives and walks back into the city and keeps going. And yet he had peace. In God, it's God's presence in whatever we face. It's the assurance that we're held, that we're guided and loved through any storm. That is the work of the Spirit. As we're transformed, we become more able to love God and love our neighbor. Notice Paul's response to the confused crowd. He's not harsh, he's not condemning, but he has urgent compassion. We're bringing you the good news. Even in their confusion, Paul sees people made in God's image, not as things to be used. His response flows from his wholeness, security in his identity as God's beloved. He's compassionate enough to want what's best for them, as opposed to what feels good to him. There's a test, isn't it? What would I rather? Would I rather do something that feels good to me or do something that's best for others? Let's not ask that today. But the Scriptures also show us is you can't do it alone. Paul is not on his own. Paul has Barnabas with him. Paul has the one who was with him, who went to find him when he was placed in hiding because his preaching was so bad, it made the people want to kill him. So they had to put him into hiding. The question that is worth asking is, who's helping you in this journey? Who's helping you? And if you have a bit of a blank, we have some things planned for you in the fall. And I know it may feel like a long way off, but it's not. It'll be right on our doorstep before you know it. We're having a men's retreat on the 19th of October that's going to look at this very thing. And if you want to know more about this men's retreat, would the three of you stand, Doug, Craig, and Scott. Find these three after the service. They'll give you all the details and more. We're also planning a women's Bible study. We don't have the details yet or the launch day yet. I will be leading all of them. I'm kidding. I will not. Because it doesn't rest on my ability, but on God's faithfulness. But we have a team together. We're planning a Bible study that will launch in the fall, and we're really excited to see what God will do, because we can't take this journey towards wholeness on our own. It doesn't work. No one is an island. This is not a self-help book. This is a book that informs community shaped by the gospel and the power of the Spirit. So here's some practical steps as I close. Surrender takes practice. So practice surrender. Maybe it might be helpful for you to regularly examine when you're trying to be your own God. Now, I don't think, oh, today I'm going to be my own God. No. But boy, oh boy, can I cross over to ungodly planning very quickly. Boy, oh boy, can my temptation, desire to want to control things and outcomes mean that I hold on to things too tightly. Maybe that's where I need to surrender, remind myself that it doesn't depend on my ability, but on the faithfulness of God. Become a student. Create a space for the Spirit to teach you through Scripture and prayer. It's more than just listening and talking about it. Maybe it's time to start reading the Scriptures again. I don't know. Maybe it's time to start praying again. There are plenty of tools. We have one out in the entrance on the way out. Cultivate peace, number three. Notice when you're animated by the things of this world. Anger, ambition, anxiety. There is a godly ambition that's led by the Spirit. Jesus possessed it. It's different from the ambition of our world. The ambition of our world looks to use people as commodities to build up something for one person's agenda. Where the ambition of Jesus is to do what his Father's asked him to do in a way that serves and encourages everyone in the way. What would it look like in your life right now to be led by the Spirit? And then last but not least, practice love. Look for opportunities to love more fully. The bar has never been lower. You just have to be polite in the workplace. You do. You just sometimes have to smile. And if you've mastered that, maybe you can use an encouraging word. Maybe you can be kind. Maybe you can stop to listen to someone and choose to be present to them and unavailable to the rest of the world for the 5 minutes it takes. That is an incredibly loving thing to do in our day today. Friends, becoming whole isn't a project to complete. It's a journey to embrace. If I was an influencer, I would use that line. Let me say it again. Wholeness isn't a project to complete, but a journey to embrace. The Spirit's work is patient and persistent, gentle and gradual. There will be breakthrough moments like the healing in Lystra, and we can talk about those, and we will talk about those at some point. But more often, transformation happens through quiet faithfulness, choosing love over fear, surrender over self-assertion, peace over anxiety, day after day after day. You and I are all works in progress. And some days we feel the leading of the Spirit more clearly. Often, other times we feel numb or discouraged. But the Spirit's work doesn't depend on our feelings or our performance. It depends on God's faithfulness. And the good news is that God is always faithful. That's what it means to be animated by the Spirit. less about us, more about him. So let's pray. And in this moment, you may have, as I've been speaking, feel that there's an area where you need to surrender something. And so I'm just gonna lead you in a prayer, and you can just fill in the blanks as you feel led. Lord, we thank you for the promise of your Spirit. And Lord, we recognize that we've all come from somewhere. We've all had previous experiences, both the good, the bad, and even sometimes the unwanted. And yet we've heard of your faithfulness. We've heard of your love. We've heard of your peace. And so in this moment of quiet, Lord, we choose even now to surrender whatever we're holding, whatever we're carrying, that we might receive more from you. So Lord, would you come and would you move in us and through us? Thank you that you know our hearts. Thank you that you know what it is to be in our shoes. And so we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would lead us into all truth and that you would mark us with your peace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.